Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number one of the Ash Bros podcast, a podcast years in the making. I'm Todd Ashtua, and I'm joined by my brother, Peter Ash. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
Great, man. Excited to get this thing started. Like you said, years in the making, bro. Like, it's been a great long time. People have been telling us to do this. So, yeah, I'm excited to get started, man. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun for sure. You know, we call it, obviously, the Ash Bros podcast based on, you know, our last names, two brothers who, you know, here in Toronto, who love the NFL, big NFL fans. And yeah, we just, you know, love talking ball, and it's going to be a lot of that here on this podcast for sure. To start off this episode, the 2025 NFL draft recently kicked off, is actually in the books now. It's all finished. And it should be really exciting to see just the outcome of this draft and everything like that. A lot of surprising picks, a lot of trades as well, including a lot of big ones as well that we're going to talk about. But in this episode, specifically, we're going to talk about me and Peter each actually going to give our three winners and three losers of this draft. I'm just curious if I can start off here for my winners here. My first winner, I don't really like saying this because, you know, me and Peter are both big Green Bay Packers fans, but I got to go with Caleb Williams, you know, as one of my first winners here. The Bears did an excellent job in the first round. You know, they took tight end Colston Loveland in the first round, the 10th overall pick. He was actually in my top 10 on my big board heading into this draft. So it was a great pick for the Bears because he's just a very talented tight end, can make a lot of good plays down the field, huge catch radius as well. So he's someone that Caleb Williams can, you know, just trust on those big, you know, third downs, fourth downs. And now actually as well gives, you know, new head coach Ben Johnson that opportunity to do a lot of 12 personnel because you already have Cole Kmet there, who's such a good tight end is there as well. And then you combine that with them getting DJ Moore, having him already. You have Roma Dunze, who they drafted in the first round last year. And then they also drafted another wide receiver in the second round, Luther Burden, in there too. So, I mean, that's a lot of weapons to try to stop there. Yeah, it's going to be tough for our Packers to stop those weaponry, especially with our questions at cornerback. So we'll see what happens there. My second winner, heading to this one as well here, I'm gonna have to go with Drake May, who's also similar to Caleb Williams. Was drafted in the first round of last year's draft. May had a pretty solid rookie year. He wasn't like wasn't like Jaden Daniels like all time rookie season, but he was pretty solid, especially considering the circumstances around him. You know, New England's offensive line was pretty rough last year. They gave up 52 sacks, which was tied for the fifth most in the NFL. So they gave up a lot of hits, a lot of sacks last year. But they really addressed that in this draft. They got Will Campbell with the fourth overall pick in the draft. He's an amazing player, in my opinion. I know a lot of people are saying, well, you know, he has short arms and, you know, all that stuff, and they might have to move him to guard. But, I mean, either way, I mean, whether it's guard or tackle, I think he's going to be an awesome player. I could definitely see him being an all-pro player for New England's offensive line there. And obviously, that's going to help Drake May big time. And then even in the offseason, too, obviously, they did sign Stephon Diggs in free agency. And then they went out there in the draft. They drafted Travion Henderson, running back there at Ohio State in the second round. And he's a pretty good running back as well, very skilled, great pass protector as well, can catch the ball in the backfield, good running back overall. And I think him and Ramondre Stevenson is going to give May a solid running back duo right there for a few years or so. And then also they drafted Kyle Williams, you know, not the 49ers Kyle Williams that muffed the punt in the NFC Championship game a decade ago, but different Kyle Williams, very fast, speedy receiver. That gives Drake May another weapon as well. So I like that for the Patriots. I think they've done a great job building around May. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if they can maybe make a playoff push in the AFC. But we'll see what happens with that. And my third winner here of the 2025 NFL Draft, I'm going to have to go with George Patton, the GM of the Denver Broncos. You know, last year... Yeah, I mean, he did a great job, man. He did an excellent job. I mean, they won 10 games last year, right? I mean, they made the playoffs for the first time since 2015. long, long time ago. I was in middle school last time they made the playoffs before, you know, for last year. So it was definitely a long time for Broncos fans, but they deserved it. You know, they had a great year last year. And now they drafted Jahdae Barron out of Texas, who I really like at cornerback right there. You know, he's a cornerback that they can play, you know, on the outside and the slot. Although in Denver, they do already have Riley Moss and, of course, Patrick Surtain, the reigning defensive player of the year. So it looks like Barron's going to get that start right there in the slot, which I think is perfect for him and for the Broncos. That's a scary Broncos defense, man. I don't know. It's going to be, like, really tough to go up against them. And, you know, especially in that division, you know, for Denver, going up against Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and then obviously the Raiders getting Geno Smith. It's good to see them, you know, building up that defense. And I think that's going to give them a solid chance at, you know, getting back to the playoffs this year as well.
No, it's tough. They're a serious dark horse. They should have beat the Chiefs last year twice, right? And, like, that first game was obviously the muff punt, or whatever, sorry, the blocked field goal was brutal. But that team is dangerous, 100% dangerous. Defense only gets better. And like you said, like, they did a good job in this draft bolstering what they – I mean, shoot, honestly, the rich get richer with them, so that's fantastic. Let's get to my winners. My first winner is going to be the young QBs in need of weapons. And basically, the way I go with this is a lot of young quarterbacks needed some support and basically got that in this draft, right? The Texans got Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel for CJ Stroud, right? The Panthers got Ted McMillan for the Panthers. Or sorry, the Panthers got Ted McMillan, sorry, for Bryce Young. Caleb Williams, Colston Loveland, like you mentioned before, and Luther Burden. Those are two key moves. I think Loveland can be a pretty good, like, slot, kind of big slot weapon. I compare him a lot to Trey McBride, and a lot of people like Laporta. I don't think he's half a blocker Laporta is, but he has the receiving ability, obviously, to do his thing there. And then the Colts got Tyler Warren for a guy like A. Rich, and I'm assuming A. Rich is going to win the job, but you never know. But that's a pretty good, nice young weapon to have, a guy who can do everything, jack of all trades. Basically throw him anywhere, and he's a great blocker. And then Matthew Golden to the Packers. I mean, like, that's easy self-explanatory, right? Like, it's a great move. He needed some wide receiver help. So I think a lot of young quarterbacks this year, right? Last year, there were four wideouts who had 1,000-yard seasons. I know over the last 10 years, I believe, or sorry, over the last six seasons, there's been 10 1,000 rookie wide receiver seasons, which is pretty incredible. So you can build on that. You never know with these guys. People said it's a weak draft class. I don't think so. We'll see what happens when the season starts, obviously, but I like the moves they made there. My second winner is the Los Angeles Rams. Last season, you know, they did something out of the ordinary. They actually drafted a first-round player instead of trading out of it. And they got Jared Verse. And you saw what happened there, right? He was obviously class, defensive rookie of the year. Dude's outstanding. He's a stud, right? We know what he is about already. But, you know, this year they looked at the draft and having been a little bit late in there, they kind of went, oh, we can wear options. Maybe another team wants to trade back in. And the Falcons did just that, giving them a first-round pick next year. And my thinking is, if they think Stafford's going to be good for a year or two, next year's quarterback class could arguably be better than this one. I know this year people weren't really big on this one's draft class. Next year's also has a lot of question marks because Arch Manning could not. Maybe he stays, maybe he declares, we don't know. But either way, he's going to be super high in the draft. But there's a lot of other guys like in that last year's class, or it's next year's class as well. Includes Drew Aller, who like is a kind of a mystery, but he's interesting with the talent he has. And Lenore Sellers at South Carolina. Remember this name, guys. He's my Heisman pick for next year. You guys watch college football, watch that guy play. He's kind of annoying, and he's a little bit crazy with how he plays sometimes. He's erratic, but he puts it together, man. He has serious, serious tools. But maybe the Rams do that, and they, you know, they keep that first pick for next year. They move up, get a guy. Who knows? So I like what they did. I was a big fan of that kind of draft for them, getting that much capital back. And then my last winner is the Baltimore Ravens with an asterisk. Obviously, right, they find a way to always get studs every year, latent into it. They got Malachi Starks this year at 27. I mean, that was the guy that Kirby Smart literally said, the only guy that could guard Brock Bowers when we were in practice was Malachi Starks. You add this guy to the secondary, and now Kyle Hamilton can play deep. He can roam again like he used to do. He can kind of do whatever he wants. When you have a guy like that who can basically do everything. I remember a couple years ago, 2 years ago, the AFC Championship game, Kyle Hamilton got tortured by Travis Kelce. I'm not saying this guy is the guy to guard prime Travis Kelce, but clearly he has a knack for man coverage. It's a good thing. The asterisk is Mike Green pick that they got in the second round. All right, they got him super late, kind of midway through the second. And this was supposed to be a guy who was supposed to be a top 15 pick. Unfortunately, right, he had sexual assault allegations, two sexual assault allegations, one in high school and one at Virginia, where he got kicked out and sent to Marshall. So even though this guy led the league in sacks last year with 17, your asterisk is you got to kind of hope those character concerns, or not even character concerns, but those allegations and things of that magnitude that are extremely serious, not to be played around with, aren't going to bite you back, because you just don't know. And they already have Justin Tucker on that team, and it's just a lot of can of worms to pick out there. So it's dangerous. They obviously got to be careful, but it just seems like talent always falls to that team. So I just put him as my third winner.
Yeah, those are some pretty good picks right there. Can't go wrong with those ones. And obviously, we look at those teams that done well in the draft. You know, you mentioned the Ravens, a team that tends to draft well a lot, and you know, it's no wonder why they make the playoffs basically every year when you're drafting like that. So makes a lot of sense there. But you know, on the flip side, we actually have some of our losers as well of this draft. So for me, my first loser of this draft, kind of controversial, you know, you could argue here, but I'm gonna go with the Cleveland Browns. Yes, they did, you know, draft Mason Graham with the 5th overall pick. They traded down. They had the 2nd overall pick originally, then they traded that to the Jaguars. And I like Mason Graham. He's, I think, a very good player, and I think adding him to that defensive line that already has, you know, Shelby Harris, who's a solid player, and, of course, Myles Garrett, who's arguably the best defensive player in the NFL, I like that. It's just, like, you pass up on a generational player, you know, at least a generational prospect in Travis Hunter, who I think has the potential to be literally something we've never seen before in the NFL. Like, you know, people are calling this guy a unicorn, you know, and it makes sense when, you know, you're putting up over 1,300 yards as a wide receiver, and then you're locking down wide receivers as well, like on the other side of the ball. That's kind of unheard of, right? And, you know, I just feel like passing up on Travis Hunter, I don't know, I feel like I could come back to bite a team like the Browns, who they just really kind of need that that star power, especially, like, I feel like right away in that division. The Ravens, as you mentioned, are very good. The Bengals, obviously, with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, those guys not going away. And even the Steelers, we don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. You know, assuming Aaron Rodgers goes there, though, I mean, that's a lot of firepower you have to fight in that division. And I think Travis Hunter would have helped with his ability to help on offense and defense. And, of course, you know, the Browns did draft Shedeur Sanders. They waited all the way to the 5th round to do that. And you could have paired Shedeur up with Travis Hunter once again. I don't know. For me, it's, I feel like I have to listen to them as a loser here. But we'll see what happens with them there. My second loser here, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals, another AFC North team. And I like what they – I can see the vision of what they're doing. You know, they did draft an edge rusher in the 1st round, which is one of their biggest needs, in Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. And Stewart has a lot of talent, don't get me wrong, but he's a very, very raw prospect. And, you know, if the Bengals were a team that was, like, kind of rebuilding or trying to figure things out, you know, as a young team, then okay, that makes sense. I get why you would draft a guy like Shamar Stewart. But the fact that, you know, you have, again, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins, you just re-signed Chase and Higgins to those big contracts. Clearly, this is a team that's trying to win now. So drafting Stewart doesn't really align with trying to win now, because he needs time to develop. And I think there were some better edge rushers on the board there. You know, even, like, I think the pick before them was Jalon Walker to the Atlanta Falcons. Knowing that the Falcons needed pass rush help, I feel like the Bengals, it would have been wise for them to jump the Falcons, and then they could have drafted a guy like Jalon Walker. Or even the guy that the Dallas Cowboys took in the 2nd round, Donovan Arizuraku. I think I might be butchering his name there, out of Boston College. Because people were saying that, well, yeah, he had, you know, a lot of sacks in college, but, you know, he didn't really have the pressure rate that much. You know, his pressure rate wasn't that high. And, yeah, I understand that, but I feel like, particularly with edge rushers, not every position, but with edge rushers, it's very important to draft players that do have production. Because I feel like that shows that they're going to be able to produce right away in the NFL. So I got to list the Bengals as my 2nd loser there. And then my 3rd and final loser, I'm not being biased here, I promise, is the Detroit Lions. You know, the Lions are a very talented team. I think they're a top 5 team in the NFL. I think they're one of the, I would say the 2nd best team in the NFC coming to this year, only behind the Eagles, obviously, who are the defending Super Bowl champions. I just feel like their 1st round pick, you know, Tyreek Williams at Ohio State, I think he's a really good player. One of the best run-stopping defensive tackles in this draft class, so I get it. But the Lions were already really good at stopping the run. I think last year they were sixth in the NFL in run defense. And the year before that, they were in the top three in run defense. So they're very good at stopping the run already. And Williams, by getting Williams, like it's like they're addressing a strength. But now they didn't address the weakness, which is edge rusher, which is, I would say, their biggest weakness. Because Aiden Hutchinson's awesome. I think he's going to respond really well from that broken leg just because he's such an amazing athlete and hard worker. But outside of him, Marcus Davenport, you know, he's a solid player, but he can't stay on the field. They didn't re-sign Za'Darius Smith, which makes sense for financial reasons and age as well. But now there's like a gaping hole there opposite Aiden Hutchinson. And you're in the NFC. You're going up against guys like, you know, quarterbacks Jalen Hurts. You know, even that division, Caleb Williams trying to grow and get better. Jordan Love trying to grow and get better. You need to really be able to, you know, rush the passer. If you're going to be a Super Bowl winning team. And I just feel like the Lions, they missed the opportunity to improve that area in the draft.
No, that makes complete sense. It's just, it's tough when you, like you said, right, you address the strength and it's cool, but if you're already that good at stopping the run, you want to kind of put that together too. You need a pass rush to complement the run and vice versa. And it's not good if you just have all your eggs in one basket. And the very thing that kind of cost you on defense was not be able to rush the passer when you needed the most. So, yeah, definitely interesting moves by them. And I guess I'll get to my losers real quick. First one for me is New Orleans Saints. I thought they nailed their first-round pick in Kelvin Banks. Again, a Kelvin Banks pick. Didn't understand why his stock flew so much. People keep pointing to that Ohio State game. It wasn't his side that was getting burned. It was the right tackle side. Anyways, he got burned a lot for that game. Don't know why. I thought that was a great pick. But Mickey Loomis kind of went back to his old ways and kind of made some scratchy moves that he kind of has been doing over the last couple of years. They got defensive tackle Vernon Broughton and Jonas Tanker in the third. But they really needed corners, and they needed running backs. And when I say running backs, is I know Alvin Kamara is still there, but he's like getting older in age. I feel like he's almost on his way out in terms of like not the league, but like maybe with the team, considering their like kind of stance. And there were a lot of guys there. At corner, Shavon Rebel was there. Justin Whaley was there. The Minnesota corner was really good. And in running backs, right, Bayshon Tuten was there. And Tuten, I know he's not a maybe like a three-down back, but he's a really fast guy, a guy you could use there as a third-down back right away. And Cam Scadaboo, who I think is right away would be the second or third running back on your roster. And that was a glaring need again for them last season, considering all the injuries they had with Kamara and the multiple guys there. Conjure Miller wasn't as great. So I feel like they had other needs to address, and instead they kind of just went, oh, great with this pick, and then way down with those next two. So not really a fan of their draft. Not sure what's going on there. My second loser is the Cleveland Browns as well. The QB carousel thing is really weird to me. I understand that we mean by going back and trading back and getting Mason Graham. Travis Hunter would have been great for them too. But getting Dylan Gabriel in the fourth and then getting Shedeur Sanders in the fifth, really, really weird in the sense that, like, okay, if you're going to get a guy in the fourth and you have glaring needs, fine, cool, you get a quarterback, you need a quarterback, kind of. That's fine. But then you get Shedeur right after. And I don't know if you've seen their Instagram page, but all of their posts have basically been marketing Shedeur Sanders. So, like, what is it? Like, if you're Dylan Gabriel, how do you feel? Because clearly, in my opinion, Shedeur is better than Dylan Gabriel. I think they did him a disservice and a disjustice drafting him because now he has to compete with a guy that a lot of people, including myself, think that's better than you around later. And now you got to just kind of deal with that. It's going to be a lot of noise in Cleveland, and it's unneeded noise, to be honest, with a team that has so much bad history of quarterbacks. It looks like it's going to be a bunch of names on the jerseys again. I hate to say it, but we'll see what happens. And then my third loser is Najee Harris. I know you went players earlier with your winners. I'm going to do the same thing with a loser. I think Najee Harris is a loser after this draft, right? The Chargers draft Amari and Hampton in the first round. I know Jim Harbaugh likes to kind of have multiple running backs in the system. I think it's only a matter of time before Hampton steals that job and runs with it. I think he's a three-down back. He was my RB2. I know some people had debates about it. I think he was my RB2 by far. He can do basically everything you want him to do. People have concerns about his broken tackle ability. I don't think that's a problem at all. And Najee, as good as he looked near the end of the season last year, my thing with him is, like, he breaks tackles, sure. Like, it's clear as day that he's had a lot of wear and tear. And as good as I think he is, like, he's a decent running back, I think Hampton is a guy that could be a superstar in this league. I just think that job's his for the taking, and it's going to be unfortunate because you just signed him to that contract. If anything, that might be a loss on the Chargers, too. Like, you paid this guy to do the exact same thing that Hampton's going to do, and Hampton probably will do it better. I don't know. Interesting to me, but, you know, maybe they can make it work. We'll see. But I think he'll end up being a guy that, you know, it's just a number two behind Hampton by maybe mid-season.
Nah, no, I like that actually. I mean, I think the Chargers like getting Haptin and signing Harris in free agency too. I like those moves for the Chargers to take that pressure off Justin Herbert, especially because even for Harris, I think it was a 1 year deal that they sent him on. So at least it's like they're not too financially committed to him, and then next year they can re-sign him again, or probably even let him walk and then just let Haptin take over as the feature back just moving forward. And then yeah, I completely agree with the Browns too. Just with the, I'm not sure really what they're like doing there. The quarterback plan is, I don't really get it.
Yeah, what do they do? I don't understand that. Like, it's like you just do that, and it's such a disservice to both of them. But really, to Dylan Gabriel, again, look at their Instagram page. I'm telling you, it's all Shadur, and it's like, well, right? And then you hear the rumors about the ownership stuff with the Haslams loving the Sanders family. That's a problem, man. That's a big problem for a coach who kind of is on the hot seat, for being realistic, and a franchise that like Andrew Berry's on the hot seat too. It's a franchise that hasn't won anything for a long, long, long time. And Tavares is even the laughing stock of the league, to be quite honest with you. I just don't understand what this does for you from a marketing, financial, anything standpoint at that point. So, hey.
So that was our winners and losers of this 2025 NFL draft. And to cap off this episode, we're just gonna finish off here with just a little recap of the Green Bay Packers draft overall. Obviously, both of us being big Packers fans here. So if we look at this draft here, I guess we can go. I don't know if you want to go like round by round, or do you want to just go overall thoughts on the draft?
We can go thoughts on the draft. I feel like thoughts on the draft, considering like I think we basically got what we needed to see from the first four. But yeah.
So I mean, I can go first. I guess like this draft, I think it was a solid draft. Like if I had to give the Packers overall grade, I'd probably give them like a B or even like a B or a B minus. To be honest, I do like the Matthew Golden pick in the first round. I think that was a good pick for the Packers. He's someone that's just a really good route runner. Can basically run any single route you want him to run. Can play inside, can play outside, and I think he could potentially be that wide receiver one that the Packers have been missing since Davante Adams, since we traded him a few years back. And yeah, I think he's gonna definitely add a lot of competition to that room. But other than that, I don't love this draft too much. I do like the fourth round selection, Baron Sorrell. I like that out of Texas. I think they said he was the one of the few players in college football last year to have 40 pressures, and like 10 runs, something like that. He's a good run stopper. He's a good edge rusher as well. And I like adding that depth there. I just preferred if we maybe pick the edge rusher in the second round a little bit, just because that's kind of one of our biggest issues, rushing the passer. I remember Jalen Hurts in the playoffs last year, that first touchdown pass he threw against us in the playoffs to Jahan Dotson, he was waiting all day. Like it was, he was, yeah, he was. It was like me waiting for the bus stop sometimes. He just had all day there, so it was kind of like, But yeah, I don't know, Peter. What are your thoughts on the draft of the Packers?
I'm on the same wavelength as you, brother, man. I would give it a B minus, maybe a C plus. Matthew Golden, I think same thing with the Saints almost. Packers were my honorable mention to be a loser. I could have easily put him in there. I Golden was a good pick. I think we needed something to add at the receiving core. Again, like this team that everyone says, oh, like we're right there, and oh, we got this, and we have a few needs here. It's like our receivers clearly like weren't getting open. We had issues everywhere. Guys weren't catching the ball. We had guys who barely played in these snaps that were dropping the ball. They were top five or six in drops. Like, it's just, we needed a guy. I think we got one. Now, when I say he's a bona fide number one, I'm not sure. That remains to be seen. But I absolutely think he's easily a number two. I think he can, his ability to play outside and in the slots, major. I think we got a guy with Matthew Golden. I hope he changes that number too. 2022, 22 is trash. We're a wide receiver. But then after that, right, round two, Anthony Belton. You get that tackle. I understand people are telling me it's for death. It's cool. This is awesome. If you know Jaire Alexander, when we heard the reports yesterday that apparently they're still trying to trade him and they're not close to an agreement or anything like that, if you know that he's out the door, you gotta address corner. You absolutely have to address corner. And again, just like the Saints, right? The shit, our Revel was there, right? The kid from Minnesota was there. Trey Amos was there in the second round. You gotta go get a corner. If Jair is gonna be gone, you absolutely have to address that position. It's ridiculous that they didn't even think. It's almost like, oh, we have the same guys. We're confident with the guys we have. We always hear Gunkan say that and LaFleur say that. How many times do we have to hear you say that, though? Last year, you said the same thing. Our corners, we're not worried about it. Our secondary is great. Your safeties were good, right? Your corners weren't. That was an issue, right? Even if Jair is healthy all year last year, there was issues there, right? Eric Sosa was done. You got to figure out, like, you can't just be saying these things and not addressing it. And then, again, I agree with you with the pass rush, right? We get Savion Williams in the third round. I like Savion. A buddy in my workplace told me about Savion Williams, and I was hyped. I said, damn, dude, I want him on our team. Maybe in the fourth round if we got an edge rusher already, but in the third when we don't have another pass rusher, and again, it's the same belief. We're confident in the guys that we have in the locker room. Really? Like, I'm not trying to be mean, but really? Like, last year, again, they let us down. I'm not trying to, like, go too far into it, but you consistently having off years from people that you're confident in all the time, it's okay to add stuff. It's okay to take risks. Again, we saw Josh Jacobs calling out the receiver room, basically, and saying we need more. He's not saying the receivers we have are trash. He's saying we could use guys to help. And it seems like people just don't understand that. They want to cope. They want to stay what we have. You want to be loyal. Being loyal is cool and all. Sometimes you got to make an adjustment. You got to make moves. It's part of life. But I don't want to rant too much. At the end of the day, that's the thing. For some reason, that has to be such a major focal point. I don't know. I feel like you hit your first pick. I like it. After that, it all went kind of whatever. I like Sorrell, but like, I don't know. It just seems like it's the same pattern with the Packers all the time. And I don't know. Hopefully they figure it out. Hopefully your guys do take the next step. But if they don't, we're going to be here again. Late in the 20s, 20-something pick. Early 20s, mid-20s. We're going to go, oh, what happened? You know what happened. Came up short again because we were short. So it is what it is, man. I don't know.
No, I like what you said, even with the Josh Jacobs thing, too. Because like even when he called out like the receiving like group and said like we need like a wide receiver one, even what you said, like, you know, like you can be like, a lot of Packers fans are loyal to the players, but I feel like you can be loyal to a fault, right? And then you're not willing to call out people on certain things that they need to be calling on, you know, and that's going to help people at the end of the day when you're giving that constructive criticism and that correction because it's good, right? So I feel like even Josh Jacobs doing that, I like how, you know, we have, looks like we have like real, you know, like good leaders on this on that team. Him, Xavier McKinney, as well. You know, great safety there, best safety in the league, in my opinion. You know, but I know Lions fans not gonna like that, but I do like what Jacob said there, and yeah, I feel like overall, yeah, they're really banking on internal improvement. I think that's what's gonna, the season's gonna come down to, and I mean, it comes down to Jordan Love taking that next step. Obviously, he was injured last year. That was a big part of it. And then the defense, a lot of those guys like Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, these first-round picks that they drafted are really going to have to take that step up. And if they do, you know, they can make the playoffs again and make a run. And if they don't, this is a really tough NFC North division, you know. And, you know, they could easily finish last in the division if those players don't make those internal improvements, for sure.
Exactly, and one thing I'll say is, again, I agree, completely agree with you. It's that's how it is with the internal improvement. Like, you can do that, but then we watch teams like the Eagles, the rich get richer. Like, the reason why these teams like that and the Chiefs and stuff like that, they grow, I know Chiefs and Mahomes, but the reason why these teams continue to excel is Howie Roseman is never complacent. They won a Super Bowl, and the first thing I'm hearing is Abdul Carter wants to be an Eagle. And instead of even turning that down right away, he's like, probably not really going to happen, but, you know, you never know. Like, it's just funny they even entertain that, is crazy, you know? And, like, that's what these guys think about. And all I want is some of that into what we have. We don't have that type of urgency, it seems like. And the only time it's going to really happen, I feel like, is when maybe it's a couple years into Jordan Love's career. Who knows? Maybe a couple years more until he's starting and we start going, oh, now we have to panic. No, like, the time to panic is now. We have enough to kind of get it done and compete. Make the moves. Take the risk. I just don't understand of being safe all the time. Being safe doesn't really get you anywhere in life, period, a lot. Sometimes it's okay to be safe. You make a safe move to be safe, but sometimes you got to expand on that and obviously, like, contend. And that's what some of these great teams are doing. And honestly, that's what's holding some of these other teams back.
No, yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Like, sometimes you gotta take those risks, and if they backfire, then you know they backfire. But you know, you see a lot of teams, like you said, the Eagles, the Rams, right? All those, you know, trades they made for Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr. They said, you know what? Yeah, we don't care about the future. We're gonna win right now. You know, and they did. It paid off. And I feel like, yeah, especially for a team like, you know, they call it Title Town in Green Bay. It'd be nice to see more of that urgency to try to get that 14th championship. You know, so.
About to say, it hasn't been Title Town for a long time now. But to get rid of that name soon if we keep doing what we're doing. I don't know what else to say, man. Like, it's getting to the point where we're looking at it. Like, what Title Town? What titles? I don't know, man. Like, I get it. History is history. Like, we gotta, you know, what are we? I don't want to bank on stuff that I can't see on VHS. I can't see on YouTube anymore. Like, I want it now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's okay. I understand. Like, again, like you, to your point, right? Maybe I'm being a little impatient, obviously, with how things are, and we just started with Jordan Love. I get it, but you can. There's a sense of urgency should be needed no matter what. So. I don't know. Hopefully we get that. Hopefully we have improvement. Who knows? We'll see, though.
Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see for that one. Yeah, we'll see what the Packers and the rest of the 31 teams in the NFL have in store for the rest of the offseason. OTAs and mini camps, rookie mini camps are also coming up as well. So it should be very interesting to see a lot of those players getting their first chance to put on those jerseys and make an impression, so it should be fun to see. Well, with that being said, that will mark the end here of the first episode of the Ash Bros podcast. Man, bro, so fun to do this first episode with you, man, and you know, hopefully the first of many, and we can't wait to see you guys in the next episode. It should be a blast.